ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
being completely cleansed of all material contamination in this way, a devotee is able to understand very happily your name, fame, form, activities, etc. Please repeat. The devotee whose heart has been completely cleansed
by the process of devotional service
and who is favored by
Bhakti Devi
does not become
bewildered
by the external energy
which is just
like a dark well,
being completely cleansed
of all material contamination
in this way,
a devotee
is able to understand
very happily
your name, fame, form, activities, etc.
Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25.25, सतम प्रसन्नम मम वीर्य संविद्धो भवन्ति हृत्करण रसायन तथा यज्योत्स्नाद अश्व अपवर्त वर्तमानि श्रद्धा रति भक्ति अनुक्रमिष्यति. Simply by the association of pure devotees, one can understand the transcendental name, fame, qualities and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As repeatedly said, sadhu-sangha, sarva-siddhi, sarva-sastra-taya, lava-matra sadhu-sangha, sarva-siddhi, chaitanya-charita-vidhanam, 22.54. Simply by associating with a pure devotee, one becomes wonderfully advanced in Krishna consciousness. Sadhu-sangha or association with a devotee means always engaging in Krishna consciousness by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and by acting for Krishna. Sadhu-sangha or association with the devotees means always engaging in Krishna consciousness by the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra and by acting for Krishna. Specifically, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra purifies one, and this chanting is therefore recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Cheto Darpana Marjana. By chanting the names of Krishna, the mirror of the heart is cleansed and the devotee loses interest in everything external. When one is influenced by the external energy of the Lord, his heart is impure. When one's heart is not pure, he cannot see how things are related to the Supreme Personality of God. Idam hi Vishwam Bhagwan Ivatre Bhagavatam 1.5.20. He whose heart is purified can see that the whole cosmic manifestation is but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's a nice point out of here. He whose heart is purified can see that the whole cosmic manifestation is but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he whose heart is contaminated sees things differently. Therefore, by satsanga or association with devotees, one becomes perfectly pure in heart. One who is pure in heart is never attracted by the external energy, which urges the individual soul to try to dominate material nature. The pure heart of a devotee is never disturbed when he executes devotional service in the form of hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. In all there are 9 processes one can follow in the execution of devotional service. In any case, a pure hearted devotee is never disturbed. The bhakti yoga process must be carried out by avoiding the 10 offenses one can commit while chanting the Maha Mantra and the 64 offenses one can commit while worshipping the deity. When a devotee strictly follows the rules and regulations, Bhakti Devi becomes very much satisfied with him, and at that time he is never disturbed by anything external. A devotee is also called a Muni. The word Muni means thoughtful. A devotee is as thoughtful as a non-devotee is speculative. A non-devotee's speculation is impure, but the devotee's thought is pure, are pure. Lord Kapila and Sukadeva Goswami are also called Muni, and Vyasadeva is addressed as Mahamuni. A devotee is addressed as Muni or thoughtful when he purely understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conclusion is that when one's heart is purified by the association of devotees and by the avoidance of offenses committed when chanting and worshipping the Lord, the transcendental name, form and activities of the Lord are revealed by the Lord. ॐ अग्नानिगानशेव्यानाञ्जनसलाकचक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः.
Shri Chaitanya Manojishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamayam Dadati Swayam Padantikam.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yukta Padakamalam
Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sadradatam Sahagana Ramanatam Bhutam Tam Sariyam Sadvaitam Sahagutam Padayam Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sadhalita Shri Vishakamitam Shri Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sede Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Has been completely cleansed by the process of devotional service and who is favored by Bhakti Devi does not become bewildered by the external energy, which is just like the dark world. Being completely cleansed of all material contamination in this way, a devotee is able to understand very clearly your name, fame, form, activities, etc. So, here in the purport we see this verse is mentioned. Satam prasannam mahabhija samvitra bhavantiritra harasana kata yad yoshna prasra avaldara prasman sraddhara prasra anukamishya. It is mentioned simply by association of the devotees. Simply by association of the devotees, one can understand the transcendental name, form, qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of God. Again, Chaitanya Charitamrita is quoted after that. It says, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva, Sastra Kaya, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi. So just by the moment of association. So in this whole purport and the verse if we read, actually one thing is emphasized, which is association of the pure devotees. And one of the pure devotees' disappearances is today, Haridas, Haridas Thakur. So, it's very important to understand, it's interesting, at the end of 10th canto, Maharaj Parikshit asks Sukadeva Goswami, how come that the devotees of Lord Shiva, who is a renunciant, who lives like a beggar, are opulent, but those who are devotees of Lord Vishnu or Krishna, and if you see Lord Krishna and Vishnu are always opulent, in opulence, but they are always poor. So how is this contradiction? One who is a renunciant is devotee is a rich, and one who is in opulence is devotee is a poor. And Sukadeva Goswami gives a reply saying that Lord Shiva is the in charge of the modes. And when he comes to this material world, he looks after the three modes of material nature, and he is in charge of all the 16 elements. Including the mind, 15 elements, and the mind is the 16th element. So he is in charge of them. And when the devotees of Lord Shiva worship Lord Shiva, they are worshipping in the mood of getting some opulence, getting some material benefit, getting some sense gratification. Since he is Mahadev, he is very merciful, he is Ashutosh, he just rewards them whatever benediction they want. Whereas Lord Vishnu is transcendental to the material modes. So he does not award anything which is to do with the modes. And that is why the devotees of Lord Vishnu are always materially impoverished. And then the same question was asked, and Sudhir Goswami mentions like this, same question was asked by Yudhishthira Maharaj to Krishna after the Rajasuya sacrifice. And Krishna says, Yashyaham anugrahnami harishyata dhanam sanay tato adhanam tarjantriyasya svajanta dukkha dukkhita. So he says, if I show my mercy, favor to someone, what happens? First he becomes deprived of all his wealth go away. Then, to that poverty-stricken man, all the relatives leave him. And once the relatives leave him, he becomes frustrated, he is dukkha dukkhita. He becomes more and more distressed. Then in the next verse, Krishna says, then what he does? He tries to acquire more wealth. In gambling, if you know, the person who gambles more is the person who
loses.
So this is how the Maya works. When you lose something, you are more attached to that. And so Krishna also uses this fact. So when Krishna takes away all your material opulence, first he gives material opulence and then takes away all your material opulence. And then one becomes so frustrated, he tries to gain more and more of wealth. He works harder. And at that time, Krishna deprives him of those material opulence more. He takes away more than what he has taken already. And at that time, he becomes really frustrated. And then Krishna says in that verse, at that time, he looks out for a devotee. He associates with a devotee. So again, Krishna also makes this point that it's not that he becomes frustrated and he just comes back to me. No. Then he gets the association. By the mercy of Krishna, he gets an association. If he's a sincere soul, he gets an association of devotees. And by the process of association with that devotee, he then comes back to me because the devotees engage that person in his service. So it's a very interesting point which Krishna also at the end of the 10th canto confirms that only by the association of pure devotees one can come to me. There's a Keshav was quoting once His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj was telling one of the devotees, don't think that your chanting is going to take you back home, back to God. It's not that you're by your chanting, we all know the quality of our chanting, right? You don't have to tell, right? We all know how we chant. And this is another point which is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada mentions, one has to chant without offenses and worship the deities. How many offenses are there? How many offenses for chanting are there?
Ten
are the primary, and the 11th is given by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So, do we need to go through the offense? We have just gone through this morning. So, anyways, what is the 11th offense?
To be inattentive while
chanting. And what is the first offense? To blaspheme the devotees who dedicate their lives to preaching the glories of the holy names of the Lord. So again, we see the first offense is to blaspheme the devotees, to offend the devotees. So we have to be very careful. And as this whole purport is saying, the association of devotees is very important. And the 11th offense is to be inattentive while chanting the holy names of the Lord. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur in Harinam Chintamani gives, like, there are three reasons of this. Why? And inattentiveness is the reason for all the 10 other offenses. If we are chanting attentively, then we will not be committing the first 10 offenses. So it is very important that we chant attentively. All the processes, the 9 processes, as Prabhupada is mentioning here and given by Prahlad Maharaj. Here is chanting, remember. So all the processes have to be done attentively, but especially chanting, because when we chant attentively, what is mentioned here, we'll be given, we'll realize the name, form, pastimes of the Lord. So when we chant attentively, the first thing that we realize is the name, nama. So there are 3 stages of nama realization. What is the first stage of chanting? Nama.
Aparad stage. The second stage is Namabha stage. And the third stage is Sudhanama stage, where we realize at that time you realize that Krishna, and it happens at the Namabha stage to a certain degree, where you realize the name is not different than the Lord Himself. So the name and the Lord are one. So at that point we realize the form of the Lord. And then going further, when we advance, when we come to Sudhanama stage, we realize the pastimes, can see the pastimes of the Lord. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions there are three vikshepas or three obstacles when we are chanting, because of which we are inattentive. What is the first one? Anyone knows? Sorry? Audasina. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says Audasina. Audasina means indifference to the Holy Name. And the second one is Jada. Jada means laziness. And the third one is also trying to look at that. And the third one is distraction. Vikshepa. So these are the three reasons for inattentiveness. So what is indifference? Audasina. Indifference means we are not connecting, we are not understanding what we are doing. The process that we are doing, we are taking it as any of the other process. And this is one of the offenses, to consider the name as some ordinary mantra. So we are not taking the process seriously. Sachinanda Maharaj gives very good example for Audasana indifference. He mentions while you are traveling every day, suppose you are going in a tram or a train or any public transport every day, you see a person every day. If you are catching the same train every day or tram every day, you see some of the people are same. They always catch the same tram, train, right? And you feel some connection, you know them. Even though you don't know their name or anything, but you know them. And you smile at them, and after many, many months, you develop a relationship with them, right? So, in one sense, you know that person. But if somebody asks, what is the name of that person, you don't know. One day, when you travel, you just sit next to that person and the conversation begins. You ask his name, he asks your name, you ask what you are doing, where you are staying. So, that is the second level of understanding. Now you know that person, you know his name, where he works, where does he live. So that relationship has built up. And then you invite that person to your home and he invites you to his home. So then the relationship goes on the third level, where you know his family, where you know all the implications, how he lives, where, what are his tastes. So you know that person on different levels. But the first level, you were just smiling, but it was indifferent. It was not of a relationship. Even though you know that person, but it's indifference. You are not affected by whatever goes on in his life. And he was not affected by whatever goes on in your life. Similarly, when we chant at the level of indifference. Even though we are chanting, we know that this mantra is going to give me some benefit, but we are not experiencing any benefit. How many of us have been chanting for so many years? Many people complain, like, I have been chanting for 6 months. Nothing has happened. How come I'm still going through all these problems? How come I'm going through all the troubles? All the family issues. So why am I disturbed? I've been chanting for so long. It's been 6 months, right? Or a year, or 5 years, or 10 years, or 20 years. People even complain, like, after 20 years of chanting, I've still not developed any raga or any aesthetic symptoms. So why is this? Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, we are chanting at the level of indifference. Audasina. We are not aesthetic when we are chanting. We don't chant at the level of sambandha. And this is the word His Holiness Sachinanda Maharaj gives. One has to chant with sambandha. Instead of indifference, one has to develop a relationship. One has to develop a relationship where you know the person You go to his place, he comes to your place, you have got, you are affected by that, by his life, and he is affected by your life. So similarly, when we chant, we should chant in a mood how it is, that it is part of your life. It is not like we are chanting on a, just because we have to, somebody has told us chant 16 rounds, or we have taken a vow in front of our guru that we chant 16 rounds. That is why as soon as 16 rounds are over, done for the day. And most of the devotees say, I finished my rounds. So as soon as you say you have finished your rounds, when we hear about Srila Haridas Thakur, how many rounds was he chanting? 192 rounds. How many Mahamantra are there?
300,000.
There are names there. 300,000 names of. So in one mantra there are 16 syllables. So 300,000 plus syllables he was chanting. But mantras, it's something about 20,000 mantras. Mahamantra. He was chanting every day. And how many mantras we are chanting?
16,000.
1,000 something. If you multiply 16 by 108, it is 1,300 and something, 2,737 something, 1,237 something like that. And he was chanting 20,200 and something. So he was chanting 19,000 more Mahamantras than us. So he was not saying that I want to finish my rounds. That was not the, in the back of his mind. When will this 300,000 finish? So if you have that kind of indifference, Audasina, then we will not be able to progress in spiritual life. And that is why the first mantra we chant this every morning is Bahu Janma Kariya Vishwamana Kirtana Tahutana Paya Krishna Padu Premadana. So we have to understand what we are trying to achieve by chanting the holy names. So what is it that we are trying to achieve? What is the goal of our chanting?
Krishna Prema.
Krishna Prema. The love for God. And this is the process. It is not a mechanical process. It is the, we are calling out to Krishna. We are trying to develop a sambandha. We are trying to develop a relationship with God by the process of chanting. So this is not an ordinary process of getting some material benefit. So the first obstacle is indifference. We are chanting in indifference. The second one, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains is laziness, jada. We are lazy. And this is the problem in Kali Yuga especially, is everyone is in the mode of ignorance. And one of the results of mode of ignorance is everyone is lazy. Nobody wants to wake up early morning. Nobody wants to. We don't give priority to the chanting. And that is why we are not able to chant with sambandha. And the third one was distraction. Distraction, vikshepa. And this distraction comes in many forms. So there are external distractions and there are internal distractions. The external distractions are when you are chanting, somebody comes to you and says, can you do this thing or that thing or what's the time? So you are, immediately your mind goes up depending on what time of the day you are chanting. People will approach you. Usually in the morning it's more peaceful, but during the day if you are chanting, there will be conversations in between the rounds. So it's best to chant in the morning. Of course, I'm telling this, but I have to practice. I'm not a perfect example for this, but. So there are vikshepas, and the ultimate vikshepa that all of us, regardless of what time, day and where we are chanting, is our own mind. As soon as you take your beads and start chanting, the list for to-do tasks, as if it's the chip is fitted in our mind, as soon as you take the beads, the to-do task comes one after another. What I'm supposed to do today. So that these are distractions. So these are the three things which stop us from chanting attentively. So again, Prabhupada mentions this verse, Cheto Darpana, Mahajan quotes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the process is Cheto Darpana Marjana to cleanse the heart of dust accumulated for years. Mahadhavavani Nirvapana. And what is the result? What is Mahadhavavani? Bhava Mahadhavavani. Samsara Dhava Navani Daloka, we seem to have known that. So it's a forest fire, Dhava. And this Dhava is Mahadhavavani. And what is that Mahadhavavani? Bhava. This cycle of birth and death that we are stuck in. It's a Mahadhavavani, it's the biggest forest fire. And this is what the holy name gives. Shreya Shreya Vachandrika Vatayana Vidyavara Jeevana. Anandam Buddhi Vardhan, Pati Padam Purnam Prata Swadhanam, Sarvatma Sanatanam, Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna, Sankirtanam. So this glory to the Sankirtan movement, it gives the, it cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and liberates us from this cycle of birth and death. And the second, particularly like the second paragraph of Shikshashtakam, it says, Nama Matari Bahuda Nijasarva Satish. So, in this holy name, Krishna has put in all the, invested all his energies. It's sufficient to get out of this material world. Nama Matari Bahuda Nijasarva Satish. All the Satish of the Lord are in this holy name. Tatrakuta Niyamita Smarana Nakala. And there is no hard and fast rule for chanting the holy names of the Lord. With any other process, you have to, as it is mentioned, the deity worship, there are 64 offenses you have to be worried about. There are seva apradhi is there. But chanting the holy names of the Lord, there are no offenses. Itadashi tava kripa. Tatrapitam nimitasmaranata. Itadashi tava kripa bhagavan namaki. The Lord is so merciful that in His holy name, He appears, He gives Himself to everyone. Durdaivam kriparishan kirjana namaki. Durdaivam. I'm so unfortunate that even though I'm getting everything so easily, but still I've got no taste for it. Do that. It's so unfortunate that I've got no taste for chanting the holy names of the Lord. So, speak something about Srila Haridas Thakur, who is one of the. Why is Srila Haridas Thakur very important, especially on the topic of chanting? Yeah. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him a upadhi of Namacharya. And everyone in the plane of Dhvani, we sing. This is one devotee whom we sing in plane of glorified in plane of Dhvani is Namacharya Haridas Thakur ki Jai. So, we'll speak about his glories today. There is a verse which is sung by Vrindavan Das Thakur and given by Vrindavan Das Thakur and Chaitanya Bhagavat. Please repeat. Mahabhakta Haridas Thakur Jaya Jaya.
Mahabhakta Haridas Thakur Jaya Jaya.
Mahabhakta Haridas Thakur Jaya Jaya.
Haridasa
smarane sarva
papakshaya. Haridasa smarane sarva
papakshaya. All glory to the greatest of devotees, Haridas Thakur, just by whose remembrance all sins are destroyed. So this is the power of Srila Haridas Thakur. Just by remembering him, what to speak of, hearing about his pastimes. And this is another benediction which is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita at the end, in the 11th chapter of the Antarila, where it's described the passing away of Srila Haridas Thakur. In that it is mentioned the benefit of hearing the glories of Haridas Thakur is one becomes free from this material world. One becomes free from all the sins of this material world. So, Haridas Thakur, as we know, is none other than Lord
Brahma.
So he also called Brahma Haridas. So he appeared in a Mohammedan family. He appeared in the Yavana family. But again, he was given the topmost upadhi of Namacharya by the Lord himself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself gave him upadhi. It is mentioned every morning after attending Mangalati, after seeing the Lord in Jagannath temple, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself personally went and saw Haridas Thakur every morning. Took prasadam from Jagannath temple and gave it to Haridas Thakur. So he personally went to see Haridas Thakur. So this is the glory of Haridas Thakur. So once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking Haridas Thakur, there was a conversation between Haridas Thakur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Haridas Thakur, how are the people of this Kali Yuga going to be delivered? The people of Kali Yuga, most of them are Yavanas. How are they going to be delivered? And Haridas Thakur mentioned, just by chanting the holy names of your names, just by loudly chanting the holy name, people of Kali Yuga will be delivered. So these are the words of pure devotee. And you know, anything that the pure devotee says, Krishna accepts. There is a pastime where Haridas was chanting the holy names of the Lord, and then the Mohammedan king punished him. He told, so there were local Muslim priests who complained about Haridas being a Muslim and chanting the names of Lord like Hindu people. So they complained to the Qazi, and Qazi called him, and then he told him to read Kalam and leave chanting the holy names of the Lord. But Haridas said, no, I will not, whatever you do, but I will not leave the holy names. I will keep chanting the holy names. What, you can do whatever you want. And at that time, Qazi told his soldiers that beat Haridas Thakur in 22 marketplaces. And if he is still alive, then we will accept that he is a genuine saint. So at that time, Haridas Thakur was beaten in the 22 marketplaces. And he was loudly chanting, Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari. And he was not feeling the pain. And he was in bliss, actually. So at that time, the soldiers themselves were feeling the pain, actually. They were saying, we are beating him so hard and he's not dying. And they could understand, like, Haridas was not a normal person, he was a great saint. So they requested Haridas, you please die or else the Qazi will chop off our heads. So Haridas Thakur then went into internal samadhi and retrieved his consciousness and appeared like a dead man. And then they told the Qazi, and Qazi told, okay, throw him into Ganges. At that time, the body of Haridas was thrown into Ganges and it floated onto the shore, and Haridas Thakur came back. And then the Qazi agreed, he's a great saint, and begged forgiveness to Haridas Thakur, and like that the offense was nullified. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions in the Mahaprakash Leela at the Angan of Shivas Thakur, like, Haridas, when you were beaten in those marketplaces, you were not feeling the pain because I was taking all the beating. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed all the marks on his back, saying that all the beating was taken up by me, and that is why you were not feeling the pain. And at that time, I was so angry that I was going to send my Sudarshan to chop off the heads of all those soldiers. But it was just because of your mercy, you were praying that those soldiers be delivered. And that is why I couldn't do anything. So the point is, we have to understand, it's the mercy of a devotee which protects the people. It's the mercy of the devotee, and it was mercy of Haridas that those people were not killed. So this is the pastime which shows how Haridas Thakur was chanting, and he was preaching the glories of holy name. There was another pastime where when he was in Benapur, there was a very rich person named Ramchandra Khan who tried to defame Haridas Thakur and sent a prostitute to kill Haridas Thakur, to defame Haridas Thakur. But eventually, you know the pastime, that prostitute, after in Haridas, every time the prostitute went in the evening, Haridas Thakur used to tell her, I've got few rounds left. So please sit and I'll finish my round and then I'll satisfy your desires. Actually these days also anyone comes to our place, we have to tell this, I've got few rounds left at night. That's not because we are chanting like Haridas Thakur, but, but because we got so many rounds, we are starting at midnight actually. So, but that's ours is a different problem. Haridas Thakur was probably most different. So he was at the, he was not affected by the association of the prostitute. That is why, and then we know the pastime, like prostitute came for two or three times and then eventually she became so affected by the holy name that she took initiation from Haridas Thakur and she became completely purified. So this is again the glory of Haridas Thakur. There is another instance where Haridas Thakur was living in one of the village under the cave, below the tree. And at, in that cave there was a snake residing. So all the devotees told Haridas Thakur that we cannot come and take your association because where you are living there is a snake there. So Haridas Thakur prayed to that snake. So either you leave or I'll have to leave from here. So next morning the snake came out and left that cave. So we can understand how glorious a devotee is that he can infect influence even the animals. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself showed in the forest of Jharkhand where all the animals were chanting the glories of the holy name. So this was the glory of Haridas Thakur again. So it is also mentioned that Advaita Acharya, when Haridas Thakur came to Navadvip, at that time Advaita Acharya was very much affectionate towards Haridas Thakur. He liked Haridas Thakur so much that when there is a Shraddha ceremony and the first person, the topmost Brahmana has to be offered prasadam, and he offered, always used to offer prasadam, the Shraddha prasadam to Haridas Thakur, because we consider Haridas Thakur to be the top of the Brahmanas, and in fact he is the top of the Brahmanas, he is Lord Brahma himself. So who can be the best of the Brahmanas than Lord Brahma himself? So Advaita Acharya understood what Haridas Thakur's mood was, that is why he offered him the Shraddha Prasadam. And also it is mentioned when Sanatana Goswami and most of his life, then in the later life, Haridas Thakur lived in Jagannath Puri. At that time Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami used to come to visit from Vrindavan to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They used to live with Haridas Thakur. They used to associate with Haridas Thakur. And in the final days of his pastime, Haridas Thakur mentions, told one day when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to see him in the morning, Haridas Thakur was lying on the ground and he was chanting, rolling in the ground and chanting his holy name. At that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, why are you sleeping on the ground and chanting? And Haridas Thakur said, I've got a problem, I've got a disease. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, what is the disease that you've got? Haridas Thakur said, my disease is I'm not able to finish my rounds. So that is the disease I am going through. I am not able. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you are so old now. You need not finish your round. You can give up. You have done enough of preaching throughout your life. And now you can reduce the quantity of rounds you chant. And Haridas Thakur said, no, I cannot do that. I cannot give up the chanting of the holy names. At that time, Haridas Thakur said, I understand that, O Lord, you are going to leave. You are going to wind up your pastime. But I won't be able to bear that thought or scene where you are living. So let me leave before you. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned, and this is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the 11th chapter. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, you cannot leave. But Haridasa Prabhu said, no, I please insist. Because without you, it will be difficult for me to bear the burden of this material world. So next morning, Haridasa Thakur called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting in front of him, he meditated on the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and left the world. At this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu claimed that he is none different. He is as glorious as Bhishma Dev, because he had a power to leave at whatever desired time and place he wanted. So this is the glory of Haridasa Thakur, that he could leave at whatever time he desired. So he had a Ichha Mrityu kind of a Shakti of that. So at that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said everyone should chant and dance. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally lifted the body of Haridasa Thakur and went to the ocean and bathed Haridasa Thakur's body, and claimed that whoever from now on bathes in this ocean will become free from all the material desires. So this ocean is not different than the holy tirth. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally cremated the body of Haridasa Thakur and built the floor on top of it. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself went to the marketplace in front of Jagannath temple and begged everyone to give some food so that the feast can be organized for Haridasa Thakur's passing away. And all the devotees gave profusely, like they gave sumptuous feast, bhoga for the feast, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally made everyone sit down and served them prasadam. At that time the devotees were not having prasadam, because unless Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate, nobody would eat. And there was like and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was waiting for everyone to eat before he can eat. But then finally Swarup Damodar and the other devotees made Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sit down and eat prasadam, and everyone started eating prasadam, and then there was a big kirtan after that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified Haridasa Thakur as well as loved him very much. So these are the pastimes of Haridasa Thakur. And especially with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, we can do this in 5 minutes. I've got some. There's a song of Haridasa Thakur, which you can quickly distribute. In 5 minutes, we'll quickly sing this. Auspiciousness to the world.
Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. There are two kinds of those devotees. Some are because of miserly nature, they live like poor. But there are some other devotees who are not affected by the wealth. Even though they get wealth, they see it as energy of the Lord. It's interesting, in second canto, second chapter, so in that the description, from verse 15 to 21, there's a description of a pure devotee who meditates on the Paramatma is given. Anyone knows the first name of the first chapter of second canto? No, that is second canto, first chapter. First step in God realization. In that, in the second canto, first chapter, the how a person can meditate on the Virat Rupa form and come to the, at least even if it is a Maya or the impersonalist, he can come to the personal realization of the Lord. Sorry, I'm giving you background. But so that is mentioned. And the second chapter, which is the Lord in the heart, where the two kinds of devotees are explained. One kind of a devotee is who is meditating on the
Paramatma, and the second kind of devotee is who is meditating on the Virat Rupa form of the Lord. So one who is meditating on the Paramatma, it is in that section, Prabhupada makes a very good point. So a devotee of the Lord, he sees everything, and this was also mentioned in the purport today. A devotee of the Lord sees everything in relation to the Lord and sees everything within the Lord. So there are two things mentioned. Sees everything as the energy of the Lord and sees everything within the Lord. So what does that mean? So a pure devotee, it's very, at one level we can see like, okay, this mic is the energy of the Lord, the devotee is the energy of the Lord, the salary I get is the energy of the Lord, my house is the energy of the Lord, my family. So it's at one, there is one level of understanding that things are related to Krishna. Again, to get to that realization is, you need to be on a different level. But the second one is to see everything within the Lord. And this is the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. They did not have to go out for anything else. They saw all the pleasure within the Lord. Even if they have to criticize, they will criticize only Krishna. They would not criticize the other devotee. Even if they had to think about something, they would think about Krishna. Everything was within Krishna. They felt, they got all their enjoyment from within Krishna. They saw everything in relation to Krishna as well as everything within Krishna. So, this is when you have got that kind of mood. Krishna gives a lot of opulence. Nanda Maharaj was, he had 9 lakh cows. He had so much of land. Like all the devotees we see, as you mentioned, they are opulent. But Krishna gives those devotees, and first of all, are they the pure devotees or genuine devotees? That's another question. Many times devotees also pray, can I get a good car? I'm struggling. Can I get a good house? Can I get a good wife? So while they are chanting, it's actually an offense to ask for anything material. But the holiness is so powerful, it is mentioned, and Satchinanda, who is the holiness? Satchinanda Maharaj mentions this. Even if you ask for material benedictions, the holy name will fulfill. But again, as Krishna says, he will give you all this opulence, but at one point, he will make you frustrated with that. So even if you get all these opulences, to manage that will be a headache. And then you will become frustrated, and to some devotees, Krishna will act in that way. He will give you so much of opulence, and then why do I have all these things? If I don't have, I will be more happy. For that kind of devotee, Krishna will give more.
So, we should understand the policy that Krishna's devotee will be poor.
No, generally, Brahmanas are poor because of the curse. What was the curse? Yeah. So, generally, Brahmanas are poor, but it's not a standard statement. Yes, please.
So, in the word, last prayer, says
Lord Sapira and Lord Sapira, they are the Munis, and Lord Sapira is called Mahamuni. If you see Lord Sapira, they are the Kanishan of the Lord, and Lord Sapira is the Kanishan of the Lord. So, in one way, they can also see the Kanishan of the Lord. Yeah, so the definition of Muni given in here is Kharkur. So, because Kapila Muni gave the theory of Sankhya. So in that sense, he is called Imam or Muni. Because even though it is the incarnation of the Lord, but still one of the qualities is also.
Any pointers we have for increasing our vibration in chanting besides loudly chanting?
Just by chanting loudly, one cannot increase the attention. One of the things, as it is mentioned, as per my understanding from all the lectures and Harinam Chintamani, it is mentioned to avoid offenses. That is one thing. The second thing is to understand what we are doing, the process. If this applies in any material activity, like if you see the benefit in doing it, you'll do it more carefully, more attentively. So, unless you see the benefit in chanting, other than it's just a vow that I have taken. Because we have to understand what we are doing. We are invoking the Lord Himself. When you are chanting, the Lord is dancing on your tongue. When you are associating with... So if you call a Prime Minister or President or some VIP to a place, what kind of attention will you give? So that kind of importance is required to understand this process, and the holy name is non different than the Lord Himself. So we have to understand this is not an ordinary process. It is one of the priority has to be given to it. And when you understand the importance of the holy name, then automatically you will chant with love, attention, devotion. But yeah, one of the things is you chant in a secluded place or in the mode of goodness, especially in the early hours of the day, in the association of devotees and preaching on them. So those are things help. Yeah. Yes.
So how do you guys draw back the glory of the name? So I can't relate to it. Like, what does this exactly mean?
He did not brought back the glory of the name, but he was a Namacharya. In the sense, he showed how the holy name is to be chanted continuously. It's not that we finish our round, 16 rounds or whatever vow we have taken, and then that's it. The rounds never finish. So one has to constantly chant the holy names of the Lord. So he set a standard, like the holy name is so important that in whatever circumstances one has to continue the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So this is important. We never finish our rounds. We constantly, even if we have finished our rounds of the week, but still we should endeavor to continuously chant the holy names of the Lord in our mind or in words.
So you merge with the name itself.
You don't merge with the name, but
the third stage of
chanting.
Like the third stage of chanting, where
you. So the first stage is Namaprad, Namavas, and Suddhanam. Yeah, Suddhanam is when you chant attentively. At that time, you can see the pastimes of the Lord. You can see the Lord when you are chanting. So as soon as you chant the name, so similarly, like if you have got a relative whom you love so much, as soon as you call out his name, the picture comes in your mind of that relative, right? So mother or father, whomever you are too much attached to, right? So when you chant his name or her name, automatically the picture of that person comes. So similarly, when you are at Suddhanam stage, when you chant the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, automatically the form of the Lord appears in your mind. So that is when you are chanting in Suddhanam with attachment to the Lord's name. Yes. It is mentioned that he was chanting, even while he was doing preaching, he was still chanting the holy names of the, he was chanting 192 rounds. So the only thing was, he was not taking as long as we are taking, but his name was on the, so there were three sets of rounds he was chanting, one loudly, one softly, and one in the mind. So 64, 64, 64, like that he was chanting. So, but he was starting very early and he was sleeping like a couple of hours in a day. So he was not wasting any time. So that was, but he was chanting for a long time. Even while he was going around in Navadvip and Jagannath Puri, it is mentioned that he was still chanting.
So if it is for us to chant around basically second days, but the speed of mind is very fast. So do we finish the chanting 1 hour the speed of mind in 1 minute or something?
I don't think you finish it in 1 minute. You still take certain length. But again, in between two rounds, what we do is important. So, he was not wasting any time. That is the point. So, there are many devotees who chant 64 rounds and they still do a lot of other activities. So, they've got sufficient time. So, when you start early morning, then there is a japa retreat which happens in Govardhan. Sachinand Maharaj and Gurudev Prabhu organizes them. And in that retreat, one day it's a 64 round day. And usually, when you want to do 64 rounds, it's recommended that you start chanting by 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. Because by 7 o'clock, you should have finished maximum of the 64 rounds. Because then the whole day there is katha and everything. We go to a sightseeing and place where Teer Kadamba, Rupa Goswami wrote Nectar of Devotion. So all those things also happen during the day. So it's not that you just do 64 rounds and that's it, sitting at one place. No, you go on to a tour and so in that you are fitting 64 rounds. So most of the devotees finish 64 rounds by 7 o'clock or 9 o'clock. So if you chant every day like that, then I think it's possible to do that. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Lanka Ashram Bhagavan ki jai.